Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of That Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez Brownlee.
And I'm Andrew Manganelli. And today we've got a little different episode for everyone. Marquez landed at 7 a.m. this morning, I think.
Yep.
It is Thursday, so it's the day before. It's probably like 12 hours before this episode releases. We've had a very, very busy week. If you didn't know, Marquez was shooting with David Blaine for his Ascension live project. Yeah. Pretty awesome. I hope everyone watched it. If not, we'll put it in the show notes. But this week's just been kind of crazy because a lot of things happened. So we're going to we literally don't even have a script written for this episode. Marquez is kind of just going to give us story time here. We're going to talk about his week.
Yeah.
Not just Ascension, but how we kind of made a video during that and how we had to handle all of that. And then I think one more thing at the end of today's episode, Marquez is going to show me the Galaxy Z Fold 2, and I'm going
to
just give my impressions on it. And we'll just talk about it a little bit. So
perfect.
Let's go. Let's start.
Oh God, where do I start? So I actually want to start this way back. I don't know how many months ago when we like to randomly put up our predictions of when the channel hit certain milestones.
You're going pretty far back.
Yeah. So this is how many March?
Well, so it must have whenever we hit 11 million.
Right.
Probably around March.
So when the channel hit 11 million, we're like, all right, everybody place your bets, write it down on a sheet of paper. When do you think the channel will hit 12 million? And we all put the dates down. It's in the Slack. I don't remember the exact date, but my guess was September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's all sorts of different things that can go into that. There's all kinds of fluctuations on tech on YouTube, but there's a pretty good spread. And I think Michael, motion graphics specialist on the team, mm-hmm. his guess was September 1st, right,
so
before my date. Maybe a little bit of trolling there, but that's the preface to all this. So I got the call from David Blaine, to work with him on this Ascension project. He told me, he literally FaceTimed me. He's like, Marquez, I've got this idea, man. And he's got this way of talking where you're already kind of hooked in because it's David Blaine explaining something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to float up on all these balloons into the sky, and then I'm going to skydive down, but you got to be here to see it. And there's going to be all this tech involved, and I want you to be the eyes and ears of the audience. And we're going to do this whole thing with YouTube Originals. It'll be a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, there's no way I say no to that.
Yeah,
there's no way I watch this on YouTube later. Like, I could have been a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in. I was super in. So eventually the dates show up, and they were originally planning on doing it, believe it or not, in New York.
If you
saw those announcements.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be crazy if they were able to pull that off. But they went to their backup location because of a couple hurricanes blowing through.
Yeah, those ones coming in down. Even though we're nowhere near where they hit, I guess the winds were just bad enough up here.
That and just cloud cover.
Yeah, actually, this whole week, it's been nice temperature-wise, but it's been super cloudy. So that would be a huge bummer to watch him drift
clouds
up a couple hundred feet and then be gone.
Exactly, or they're a big part of this. So they moved it to Page, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, Page, Arizona is in... I do want to say it's the middle of nowhere. It is super isolated. So for some context, it was a 4-hour flight from here to Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and then a 4-hour drive from the Phoenix airport to the top half of Arizona, right next to Utah, where there's these beautiful Lake Powell little golf courses in there tucked away in the desert, this little airport, and the site of Ascension. Mm-hmm. So super remote, but super beautiful. So I get it. And of course, you know, perfectly still air out in the desert.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the dates moved for this a couple of days beforehand. They started shifting. We're like, we get these weather patterns. We're trying to lock down the exact day. We're not announcing it yet. But behind the scenes, I was watching it slowly line up with the Galaxy Fold 2 announced date and the Galaxy Fold 2 like ship date for reviewers. And so they eventually landed, boom, September 1st. And that was going to be the date of Unpacked. And so I just kind of accepted that, I guess I'm just going to have to do the Fold 2 when I get back.
I think we just thought, like, a day late's not going to be that bad. I think the video will still do well. We, like, debated this for a while. I think we sat there for, like, a whole day just being like, do we send this to Arizona? Will you have time?
Do we just wait a day? Like, that's an amazing luxury to have. Like, if you're trying to consider, like, you get a device on day one and you want to be right in that first wave of coverage, you really do want to be right at the top to give your impressions and opinions, unboxing, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And the other fun fact was the most viewed video I have ever put on YouTube is last year's Galaxy Fold unboxing. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, that passed everything. That has over, I think, 21 million views at this point.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a no-brainer that I want to do some sort of an unboxing of the Fold 2, a sequel, give my impressions, that sort of thing. But I'm watching the dates line up. I'm like, dang. It won't be day one. All right, that's too bad. But mm-hmm. You know what? Ascension, I got to be there. It's going to be super worth it.
I think one of the things we mentioned also was, like, it'll be fine if it's a day late, but if it has one of those, like, day one issues, like when we tore the screen protector and broke the phone.
Yeah, I
got to
be there.
Like, we were going to miss that. We're not going to be... I mean, it stinks that we broke that first one, but we were also one of the only people, you know, to, one, like, of, like, witness. Five people that broke it. So, like, we got a ton of extra views and
you get to watch it all
because of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, the Unpacked event was the morning of September 1st. The Ascension live stream was the morning of September 1st. In my head, I'm like, wow, we're going to be competing against the Samsung live stream. All right, fine. But, you know, when I get back, we'll work on the Fold. So, of course, Weatherman Don and Bert and the whole team, I have so much respect for these guys that we are working with. I'm on set with them. We're going through David's training. He's putting on a parachute suspended from ropes 10 feet in the air. It's this whole crazy scene, and I'm sort of just watching and documenting and learning my lines and all this stuff. And eventually I get word that it's delayed by another day. So now Ascension's going to be September 2nd. Mm-hmm. And that means I won't be able to fly home till the end of the day on September 3rd. And now it's 2 days late, but I have a day off on September 1st.
Yeah.
Now the gears start turning in my head. Okay, wait a second. Maybe I can get Samsung to ship the phone out to the desert and I can get it there. And I brought my A7S, but maybe I want to have, like, more than just that camera to actually make a video. I have a hotel room, but maybe I can use the trailer on site. You know, the gears are turning.
Mm-hmm. I think this was, like, Saturday when we first started talking about it, and Tuesday was the day you would have off.
It was the weekend, right? Yeah. So we're debating over the weekend, should we try to pull this all together on the 1st before Ascension?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. I was like, let's make this happen. So I sent some emails. Samsung's like, yeah, we'll get it out to you, but there's no guarantees it'll get to your remote location by the morning. You might get it at the end of the day, but whatever. I was like, all right, fine. And we were like, let's get a red Komodo out here, because you don't want to ship a whole huge thing.
I think the Samsung confirmation was on Sunday. So we were like, okay, we have to pack everything up. The issue here is we can't overnight it today because of the fact that it's Sunday. So we have to go to Monday.
Wait till Monday, yeah.
We decided I was still going to go in Sunday anyways, come to the office. We decided Komodo is the best.
Yeah, like, just because I only had my MacBook Pro. And I know how it handles monster footage, and I don't have, like, the iMac Pro or anything. And I also know that when I fly home, I'm going to have an extra bag now with whatever camera you send me. So if you send me a Monstro and some big lenses and all these batteries, that's a little extra to have, like, trusted in a hard case. And it's also a lot more expensive.
Yeah. Also, we have a couple Pelican cases. The biggest one that is not for like the iMac Pro, which is gigantic, is the Raven came in. Yeah. So it's in order to fit a like Monstro in there, I would probably get like one lens and maybe a battery or two like in there. So Komodo gave us a lot more space. I still packed this Pelican case.
You packed it full of everything.
I gave you what I thought was everything you needed. I mean, I just was like, if I'm overnighting this to you and we have such a small window, we can't forget something. So I sent you Komodo, three different lenses I could fit in there, the batteries. We also did the 633 sound mixer and the
shotgun mic,
your shotgun microphone, handles. Batteries for that, handles. I gave put the battery chargers for everything in there just in case. I knew everything was full, and I just crammed it in there. A million SD cards and CFast cards and everything. And I was like, poor Marquez is going to have to. It probably took me like 25 minutes to just pack it in there and make sure it's all safe. And I was like, oh man, he's going to be up so late doing this and then going to have to pack this in the morning and be miserable. But
you know what I was thinking on my end? This is best case scenario for Komodo. I was like, I don't have the R5 with me, and I could do it all A7S, but I know I want to make a good video out here and deliver the best thing I can. And I've shot with Komodo for a bit now, and I know red color and the footage is, let's do Komodo. And it's the smaller camera. It's going to fit in this Pelican case. Yes, this is it.
It turned out being a perfect example of how to use it quickly, and also you only had the only tripod. Like, I wasn't going to send a tripod also, so you had a switch pod out there.
I had a switch pod.
Monstro would probably bend the switch pod
that's a great point. Feet.
So we got it all. I think we also decided that come Monday, so I woke up like 7 a.m because the first FedEx that opened was at 8 a.m and I didn't even go to the FedEx near me. I drove an hour north closer to an airport, knowing that's where FedEx would fly it out of, because I don't trust any of these shipping companies anymore. So I wanted one less step in there. Really, I wanted to get it as close as possible. Went in, I even had a UPS site on backup in case FedEx told me it couldn't do overnight, but she guaranteed it for me. Sent it in and then just crossed my fingers and looked at that tracking number like every hour until you got it.
So you got the Komodo, got the Komodo en route, and it was via FedEx, and you got it to an airport, so it would be quickly overnighted. This is all on Monday, and we're hoping to make the video on Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. In the meantime, I'd also gotten an email back from Samsung saying, we can get it to you. We can't guarantee it, but, you know, it'll be at you at some point during the day. I said, you know what? That's fine. Ship it. So fast forward to Tuesday morning. Wake up, we do a little rehearsal, we've got some stuff going on. I am lasered in on these tracking numbers on my phone. In between every take and like blocking off camera stuff, I'm checking the tracking numbers. How's the stuff? Is it shipping? Did it fly overnight yet? They shipped the Fold via UPS, and you shipped the Komodo via FedEx.
Yeah, when you told me UPS, I was like, oh man, did I make the wrong choice? I just don't trust either of them. So I was literally doing research and just looking up people's experiences. I know we've had pretty bad experiences with FedEx, and I know Mr. Mobile has had the worst experiences with FedEx. But whenever a company sends us something overnight, it's almost always FedEx. So I knew there was one close to the airport. It opened earlier than everywhere else did. So just to me, I was like, if I can get there, and I will physically ask them, not can you ship this overnight, can you guarantee it? And they said by 4:30, and I was like, that's probably later than I would want, but it is also in the middle of nowhere. So
good as we can do.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in Page, Arizona, and the FedEx tracking number updates. It says by 4:30 p.m. we'll get it. I was like, all right, great. The UPS tracking number says by 9 p.m. I'll get that phone. I was like, all right, well, you know, if we get it at 9 p.m., we'll work with that, right? Might not be sunny out, but we can work with that. So we finished shooting, rehearsing. We go back to the hotel, and I just tap on the little receptionist thing at the front desk. I'm like, hey, all right, so I got two packages coming here. They'll have my name and room number on them, but I just wanted to let you know they're coming. What should I do? They're like, oh, yeah, we'll call you. We'll let you know, and we'll get them to you. I was like, great. So I go back up to the room. I'm just like writing some stuff down that I want to make sure I want to shoot. I eat lunch. I check the tracking numbers, and they both say delivered. I'm like, whoa, I didn't get any calls. So I jog down there. I'm like, hey, is there any is there any packages here? And she's like, oh yeah, what was your name again? And she hands me a FedEx package and a UPS package. And I go up there and I open them both, and it's the Komodo that you shipped me, and it's the Z Fold 2. And I'm pumped. This is like, I think this is about 3 o'clock, 3 p.m.
Yeah.
I have both.
I was weirdly freaking out at home because I just was so focused on it. I wasn't paying attention to this time zone. So it was like 5:30 my time, and you hadn't said anything. I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Oh wait, wait, he's on a different time zone. Like,
yeah,
we're still in the clear so far. Also, that package was 35 pounds and shipped it overnight. So it was not a cheap package to send, but it was packed. So you get everything.
So I get everything. I immediately am pumped. I unbox it. Well, I don't unbox it right away. I like peek in the box, make sure everything's like not broken. I'm like, all right, we're good. And I'm in this like sort of yellow, dingy hotel room. I'm like, let me go back to the trailer. Here's the thing about Page, Arizona. There are no Ubers, literally. Huh. So if I want to transport anywhere, I have to get a hold of some of the crew and let me borrow the van and get a ride back from the hotel to the site where the trailer is. Mm-hmm. So I'm organizing all that. I'm like writing everything down. I'm like, I want to make sure I get shots of this and shots of that and make sure I say these things. And we get it. I get back to the trailer and I immediately take everything out of the box. You saw this little precarious setup of the unboxing.
Yeah, wait, let's talk about this for a second.
So I'm showing you a picture right now I took from behind the scenes. I think I tweeted this picture.
You did, yeah.
And this is the first shot of the day, which is I've got Komodo all set up. It's on the Switch Pod, and I put the Z Fold 2 in the box on the table, and it's a little wobbly. So I ended up counterweighting just that back leg by tying it to my backpack.
And then the backpack is like in a drawer hanging underneath it.
So it's
like
hanging
down. Yeah.
It's hanging, but it's not in the drawer. It'll fall into the drawer if it drops.
If it needs to, okay.
But I open the drawer for a safety.
So it's like free hanging.
It is hanging.
Okay, so imagine Switch Pod with literally just like a backpack hanging by a cord on the side of it just to make sure it doesn't fall forward because...
Yeah.
I mean, the camera is probably a foot and a half over the surface you have the phone on. So
it's
like
leaning.
It would probably, that lens could probably crack if that fell. It's not fantastic. So yeah.
First shot of the day.
Looks a lot different than our top-down setup, to say the least.
That's the first thing I thought. I was like, can I make a top-down with a Komodo and a Switch Pod? And very quickly the answer was no. So this is as good as it got. But the shot turned out great. I've got the monitor facing me. I can see focus. I unbox it. I turn the air conditioner off in there because, by the way, it's 110 degrees at the airport. So I turn the air conditioner off so I can hear the unboxing and taking the plastic off and everything.
How quickly did that go south? Did it get really hot in there? Or?
No, it only got up to like 70-something degrees because I did the unboxing pretty quick, and then I could shoot B-roll with air conditioning on.
Okay.
So, yeah, quickly. I'm moving quick now at this point. You're getting the vibe, right? It's like 3:30. I'm like done with the unboxing. I'm shooting a bunch of my A-roll. I get that all set up. And now I'm getting word that I have to leave the trailer by 5 p.m. They don't want us on site at the airport anymore at 5 p.m. Got to go back to the hotel. So I shoot every A-roll bit I can before 5 p.m. And then I quickly pack everything up and go back into the van. They take me back to the hotel. Hotel, I get a whole bunch more B-roll, and I'm out here in the parking lot. Luke Aitkins, who's expert skydiver, is like playing with a parachute toy with his kid, probably just calming his nerves down, just like, hey, Marquez, what are you doing? By the way, Luke is a total boss. He's jumping out of planes with red heliums attached to his helmet.
Oh, that guy? I saw it in the video. I saw it. That's so sick.
Yeah, so I showed him the Komodo. He's like, dude, I can't wait to jump with these things. They're so much lighter. He's used to jumping with much bigger cameras, which is crazy.
That's really cool.
We got to find a way to collab with this guy.
Yeah, or get him on the podcast or something. That would be sick. Also, can we do a video where we just tape a Komodo to Vin's head and shoot the entirety of B-roll on that?
Just as he's walking around, don't be magenta, don't be magenta. Yeah, man. This is, so now we're in.
That's a good looking shot, by the way, with all the rocks.
Yeah, I'm not really too worried about color as I'm shooting this because we're shooting raw, but I'm out in the parking lot. The sun is going down. I'm getting shots before the light is dying. They're looking really good. You know, everything you sent is working perfectly. So I'm pumped at this point.
It makes me worried that you say everything you sent is working at this point.
That's the truth. Oh, so the timestamp you see here, 6:54 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So I'm finishing shooting at 6:54, right?
Okay.
Cool. That's a good 3-4 hours of rock solid work. Here's the timeline at 8:30 p.m. I've imported all the footage and I'm getting ready to jump into the edit because this is my bread and butter, right? Uh-huh. I've got all my footage. I've got all my A-roll. I've done the unboxing. I've made all my notes. I've said the things I want to say into a mic. I import all of it and it doesn't work. Oh crap, wait, what's going on with Final Cut Pro? And basically what I'm seeing is I import everything into Final Cut Pro and all the files show up, but they sometimes load a couple of frames and then they sort of glitch and go black.
Yeah, it looked like as you were scrolling through all everything in like your clips, libraries, it was all black. Yeah,
it's all black. So I'm looking at all of my imported clips and they're all black. And I'm like, well, I mean, it is Komodo and it's beta. And I know some stuff's going to go wrong, but like, there's no way this is broken, right? I take the CF card out, put it back into the camera, load up the clips. They play perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I'm like, these clips look amazing. Why can't I use these right now? I just want to start editing. Huh. And basically for the next like 3 hours, by the way, I have a call time at 4:45 in the morning coming up. And for the next couple hours, I'm tearing my hair out, trying to figure out why this won't work. Is it the red plugin? Delete that, reinstall that. Nope. Delete that, install the old one. Nope. Delete that, put the new one back on, reinstall Final Cut Pro. Nope. Okay.
I think I remembered this point. Right after you reinstalled Red Plugin, I think you came to Slack and we were trying to like diagnose it, yeah, sort of, but like there's only so much we can do on Slack. You also, right, you didn't have any USB drive or anything to try and reinstall. Well, this
was, yeah, I was getting really deep and I was like, well, I am on the Big Sur beta and I think this is probably going to be the reason why it's not working.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to do everything I could to not have to reinstall Mac OS. So I downloaded Premiere and I opened everything in Premiere and it worked in Premiere. But as I was starting to try to go through that Premiere workflow, it was just too slow and I knew like, with this 4 a.m. call time, I'm not going to have nearly enough time to do everything, yeah, I want. So let me just get into my Final Cut workflow and this thing will be good in like 3 hours. So I guess I got to go reinstall Mac OS. Hmm. And if you don't know, reinstalling Mac OS requires a flash drive or some sort of external drive, which I did not have with me. So I had to borrow one from someone else in the hotel on the film set. Shout out to them. They had a Samsung T7 2 terabyte. I finally got one back. They like left it at the front desk for me. I get that. I go through all of reinstalling macOS Catalina. I set up a boot drive. I wipe the whole machine clean. I install Final Cut Pro and the Red plugin. They are the only things installed on this computer. And I load up all the footage again and I open it up in Final Cut Pro. Finally pumped to have done everything I need to do to start the edit. And it still doesn't work. Oh, God. And yeah, this is the point where I'm like, okay, I guess it's not happening today. Like, I got pretty far.
It's rough to come to that conclusion when we know how much we did to make this happen.
Like, yeah.
Spent a couple $100 shipping a 35-pound package of, like, redirecting stuff to a remote location in Arizona just to film this, like... Yeah, the thing is, it's probably the most hyped phone of the year. Like, this is... the big
one
thing,
of them, for sure.
The previous version, like we mentioned before, has some of our highest view counts of any video on the channel. It's a sick phone. It's everything, and we just want to get it out. And then, so we did everything possible to get it. And
there's just people asking about it too, by the way, because I've shared, you know, Ascension is happening, and it's super pumped, and I can't wait to get started with that at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. But also, people are like, wait, everyone just started doing Fold videos, and I want to see what you have to say about the Fold. And I had some fun stuff to say about it, and obviously you can see that's up now. But this was like a creative bottleneck of like, I have this thing, I want to share it, I can't. I'm tweaking until I want to say about 11 p.m., maybe midnight. I do want to get some sleep before this huge live nice performance, which broke records on YouTube Originals. So I want to do a couple last tweaks. I end up, and by the way, when I'm messing with the footage and it's blank in Final Cut Pro, there's like moments where it'll like blip and show itself. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. It's showing itself. And then I'll like drag a slider and it goes black again. And I'm like, anytime I manipulate the footage at all, it goes black. It's so weird. I put it on my Instagram story if you want to see it. I guess it might probably gone by
it's
now.
Probably gone by, yeah.
But yeah, it's just it's behaving super weirdly. I'm toggling GPU stuff on and on. I feel like I'm kind of figuring it out, but it's not really any, you know, not really making any progress. So I go, you know what? I'll tackle this after Ascension tomorrow. I just need my mind on this project.
Yeah.
David Blaine's all in. Luke Akins is all in. I gotta be all in. Mm-hmm. I just gotta drop this now. So I get to sleep. Get up at 4, crack a sunrise. You know, we're out there. The balloons are going up. I got my cue cards. Everything is, you know, got that feel in the air. Yeah. The electricity is there. It's a great show. If you guys haven't seen it, we'll link Ascension in the show notes.
Sure,
it was amazing to watch. I basically got a front row seat of like the absolute Avengers team of like balloon experts and aviation experts and electronics and skydiving and David Blaine. Like it's a dream show. But of course, because it started so early in the morning when the winds were perfect, we were wrapped by 9 a.m. And so,
oh, wow.
You know, the live stream ends, they go get him in a helicopter, he comes back, he's saying hi to everyone, we shoot some like post-game interview type stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and we're wrapped by 9 a.m. So at this point, I know that my travel schedule from hell is coming up. So maybe we'll take a quick break, we'll come back, we'll talk about the second half of this adventure, which is actually figuring out the footage and then the upload disaster. We'll be right back. Support for Waveform comes from Coda. So are you having trouble getting your remote team organized and on the same page? Or for that matter, is your own desktop looking a little chaotic with a lot of tools and tabs? If any of that sounds familiar, then you may be interested in Coda. So Coda is an all-in-one collaborative workspace designed to bring teams and tools together for a more organized workday. So Coda blends the flexibility of docs, the structure of spreadsheets, and the power of applications, and the intelligence of AI to make work, well, less work. So with Coda's extensive planning capabilities, you can stay aligned by managing your planning cycles in one location while setting and measuring objectives for key results with full visibility across teams. Plus, you can access hundreds of templates and get inspired by others in Coda's gallery. So if you want a platform that empowers your team to collaborate effectively and focus on shared goals, you can get started with Coda today for free. So you can head over to coda.io/wave. That's coda.io/wave to get started for free. So coda.io/wave. Support for this show comes from NetSuite. Let's do some quick math. So the less your business spends on operations or multiple systems, the more margin you'll have, and that equals more money in your pocket. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, I mean, everything seems to cost more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. So NetSuite is a leading cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. And so you can reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. So you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. So head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform. netsuite.com/waveform. All right, welcome back. We're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
We're in the thick of it. So where am I picking up? Ascension just wrapped.
Yeah.
I am back in the trailer, sitting in front of this MacBook Pro, like, I gotta figure this out.
Yeah, and so you're traveling later that night. When do you have to get to the airport?
So we wrap at 9 a.m., and my travel schedule says in the middle of nowhere in Page, Arizona, first I have a flight from that airport where the stunt happened to Phoenix at 3 p.m.
Okay. But you went to the airport by car, right?
Yes.
But now you're taking a plane.
Now we're taking a plane, okay. Yeah. When I arrived, the charter plane was done flying that flight. It was in the middle of the night, so it was a four-hour car ride, but... Now, we're at this airport. I have a 3 p.m. flight from there to Phoenix. I have a 6 p.m. flight from Phoenix to San Francisco. And then I have a 10:40 p.m. flight from San Francisco overnight back to Newark this morning. Yeah. And I'm like, I got to figure this out before that series of flights or it's not happening and I'm going to be really sad and I might as well just not try. In the trailer, I'm figuring it out. I eventually find a way. And it's not even that I found a way. It's just kind of I was luckily messing with it long enough to switch with some GPU decode settings and letting it sit for long enough. And I was trying exports over and over again and would just say failed within like 2 seconds of starting the export. And I would leave stuff on the timeline and then mess with it and it would work for a little bit before it started crashing again. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I just take all the clips, put them all on a new timeline and a new project, immediately hit export on the whole thing, and I watched it 1% at a time, get all the way to 100 and export all my clips in ProRes. Mm. And I was like, all right, I have the footage. And it's like, I can't do the manipulation I usually do with red raw clips, which is the whole reason we brought Komodo. And you know, the footage still looks good, but it's not as manipulatable as I want. But you know what? We have the footage.
Mm-hmm.
I got the clips now. Let me just edit with what I got. So I do that. I sit in the trailer, like literally as soon as breakfast is over, and I just start crushing this edit. I'm like taking the clips, because it just exported one big 25-minute clip.
So you don't even get to see like where the cuts are in the like clips you made. You
exactly.
Just literally,
I got to scrub through.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah. But I was like, you know what? This is farther than I got last night with all my like hours and hours of work. Yeah. So, you know, if I wasn't going to finish it yesterday, I'm going to finish it today before this flight. I do that whole edit and I export the whole thing and I'm like kind of proud of it. And again, it's not the best quality, but at least my impressions of the phone are going to be in people's hands who want to hear mm-hmm. about it. Right. So I hit upload, and this is, when did I take this screenshot? Okay, here we go. I'm gonna show you something, a photo that I took at 12:38 p.m.
So it just says, starting to upload, will be unlisted, 3% uploaded, and 12:38. So your flight's in 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, 2.5 hours leaving.
Departing,
right?
Yeah. So 3%. And this is on the guest Wi-Fi at the airport because the whole production wrapped, the 3G tent and the trailers are all getting taken down. Mm-hmm. I don't have fast Wi-Fi anymore. I'm going either tethering on my phone or Wi-Fi of this airport.
Yeah, and it's not like Newark Airport. It's like a small...
Oh, it's not like Newark Airport.
Like,
it's
I'm
like,
imagining a couple gates and... That's about it.
There is one gate.
Okay. Yeah.
There is one runway and there is one waiting area and one everything. And you basically head through and there's one flight at a time.
Probably one 10-year-old router in the back giving
exactly.
off of like 10 down.
Exactly. 10 down would have been great. I was getting 2.5 up and down. And so this is why I was trying tethering. Because, you know, maybe it'll be faster than this airport Wi-Fi, but tethering Wi-Fi in Page, Arizona was also not that great.
Not imagining.
It was also about 2.5 up or down. So I waited 3 hours of like keeping a MacBook Pro awake and plugged in and next to a window trying to get this thing done. And we have to leave for the flight. And I have this footage here.
Did you ever debate just telling them you can keep this MacBook if you just make sure it stays awake till it uploads and then just wipe it?
I was sitting in the waiting area before we boarded the plane and I got to that.
It's a 6% upload. Okay, just scrolling through this. I wanted 3% uploaded at 12:38 p.m. I swipe one time and it says 6% uploaded at 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
So it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Okay.
So we board the plane. I cancel the upload. And because the thing about YouTube uploads is you can get halfway. And they say that they can resume an upload that gets interrupted halfway through. But I don't know if I trust that yet. And it hasn't been successful in my past. So we get on the plane. I'm like pretty defeated. Okay. But you know what? I have a 45-minute layover. Once I land in Phoenix before I take off to San Francisco, maybe I'll give it a shot then. Maybe mm-hmm. the Wi-Fi is good. Who knows? It's Phoenix Airport. It's nice.
You're an optimist if you think any airport is going to have good Wi-Fi. Like, I would just feel super, super defeated. I probably would have tweeted out, hey, anybody in like Phoenix or Page, could you come over, I'm going to, oh no, you'd have to give them all your info. Like, give them a flash drive. Can you upload this on your home computer?
Oh my God. Here's like, my user password and everything. Just,
please don't hack it.
Yeah, it was like when I was in Page in the airport and other people, I didn't have an Uber, but they were like, oh, we're going to make a Starbucks run. Do you want anything? And I was like, maybe I should go with them and try Starbucks Wi-Fi because it's going so slow. But eventually, yeah, it doesn't work in Page. I pack everything up. We get on the plane. We head to Phoenix. And it's less than an hour flight, so we land in Phoenix. Okay, I'm in Phoenix Airport now. Immediately, I take out my laptop, walk to the next gate. It was like a five-minute walk. It's not that big of an airport. And I sit down, I open my laptop, and I hit the upload button. And it's starting to move. I get up to like 35, 45%. And I'm pretty pumped, but I'm getting quickly at the board time for this flight. And so I'm like kind of impressed with Phoenix Wi-Fi, and it's free, and I'm just letting it go. And now here's a video. They have us board, and when they say everyone board, they're going from the back of the plane to the front in COVID times. And so I'm just waiting to be the last one to board the plane. I am the last one to board the plane. Here's a clip I took as they're about to close the cabin door and asking everyone to take their laptops and put them away.
34 minutes left, 55%, 549.
So they're about to close the door.
There's no way you're finishing.
And that's so frustrating because I only got to like 30% in Page. So now in the couple of minutes that I'm down in this airport, I got to 50 something percent. And they're about to close the door on me. Ah, I almost had it.
That's when you need to be like, I think my seat's broken. Like, can we get the...
Yeah, can we chill for a minute? Because honestly, if they let me sit there for another 20-something minutes, it would have been done. Here's what killed me, right? We're sitting on the airplane, and I'm starting to notice the connection as I got onto the plane is getting pretty weak.
Yeah.
I said, oh, you know what? Let me switch to tethering on my phone just and like hold it up to the window. And the tethering on my phone in Phoenix Airport sitting on the plane was like 21 up and down. And as soon as I switched, it started speeding up. And then they close the door.
And then you just lose everything.
And then I just lost everything. Yeah.
So do you think if you tethered from your phone inside beforehand, you would have gotten
it? If I had started with tethering immediately on my phone, I would have had it uploaded by then.
At that point, do you think you wish you never tried tethering so you didn't have to sit on a plane to San Francisco going, it would be up right now. I can't believe you've done this, Marquez. Why would you not just try tethering in the first place?
It was pretty frustrating, I gotta say. Eventually, we fly into San Francisco. I flew over Apple Park. Here's my Apple Park slideshow. I took some circle pictures of campus.
I don't know why I think just seeing a circle from there is so cool.
It's gotta be
just a circle, but when you know what it is, it's pretty sick.
Yeah. So I flew into San Francisco. It's a longer flight, so I'm like steaming this whole flight. The Wi-Fi, it's an Alaskan Air flight. The Wi-Fi doesn't work the whole time. I can't even try while I'm on the plane.
It never does.
I finally land in San Francisco. It's close to 8 p.m. Now I have my two-hour layover, and the context of why I told you guys at the beginning that we were looking at the days the channel is going to hit 12 million is the channel is now at 11.99 million, and I am trying to get this video uploaded because if it does and the channel crosses 12 million, my prediction will be correct to the day.
Yeah, which is great. We've never
crazy
done that. I think you and I have been doing predictions to the next million since, so when I started it was at like 4.5 million. We hit 5 million, and then I think you and I have been doing predictions since we shot for 6 million.
Yeah.
So we've been doing this six times. Vin and Brandon came in. No one has ever gotten it to the day. I don't know if anyone's gotten it to the week.
It's too variable. We're not there's lots of very linear channels, like daily uploading channels, where you can sort of get into a rhythm and predict how things are going to go. With us, it's like we have autofocus, and then we'll go back to a smartphone, and then something over here blows up, and it's very spiky. So you know, you can kind of sort of average it out, but it was pretty crazy to get it to the day. But either way, I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, wow, it could actually happen today, which would be crazy if this video goes up. It probably most likely would.
Well, definitely. I mean, this is arguably one of our biggest videos of the year. We all knew it was going to get a good spike.
So I land in San Francisco. It just went from 110 degrees in Phoenix to 65 on the ground in San Francisco. I walk out on the plane, and I walk all the way to the gate, And by the way, I'll tell another sidetrack story in a second. But I walk all the way to the gate. I sit down, I open my laptop, and I open speedtest.net on San Francisco Wi-Fi. And this is what I get.
200.
200.
The dream.
200. I'm like, it's happening. It's finally happening. I upload that video in minutes, title it, make the thumbnail, upload the thumbnail. I did this all like outside, like right as I landed, I like walked outside and like sat on a bench and just, I probably looked a little crazy actually. Just like outside with a hoodie on.
No sleep, probably like bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, this guy hasn't slept in a while, has he? And I'm just like, I've been up since 4 a.m., but this has to happen.
What time is this West Coast right now?
So this is, let me look at the timestamp. This is about 9 p.m.
Okay.
So 9 p.m., I am finishing the upload, and by 9:30, everything's done, and I'm just waiting for it to process so I can go live. And I guess at the end of the day, the story is it did eventually go live technically before midnight West Coast time. And I refreshed on the plane, and the channel did also cross over 12 million subscribers on the day thanks to that eventual Herculean effort. I just want to say I had 18 standing hours on my Apple Watch with 5 hours of flights.
Also, huge shout out to San Francisco Airport with 200 down.
200.
If any of you guys are in San Francisco and need some decent internet, just go sit outside the airport, I guess.
Facts. That's it's free. Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, that was the eventual story of being a YouTuber and having just two things happen in 2 days, but like everything that went through the pipes to make that happen. Here's the sidetrack story. Mm-hmm. You ready? You know the red Raven case that you pack the Komodo in?
Yeah.
I almost lost it. Here's how. So you ship that to me, right? Uh-huh. When I traveled to Arizona, I had my carry-on bag, which was my clothes and stuff, and my backpack, which had the A7. So two bags, didn't need to check anything. Flying back, that's a different story. Now that tiny plane from Page to Phoenix, gate check that, the red Komodo.
Yeah.
And barely fit my duffel bag of clothes in the overhead. And I have my backpack with me. And, you know, this is traveling during COVID times is a little bit different. There's not as many people on the plane. There was no one next to me on any of these flights.
Yeah, how'd you... Sorry to interrupt, but I'm super interested. You see all these like American Airlines stories of them like cramming the planes, and that just seems like a nightmare. But this is you did Alaska and you didn't sit next to anyone?
The Alaska flight was, let me think, where was I? I was on the right side near the window and no one was next to me. No one was in the two seats in front of me or the two seats behind me.
Wow.
So that was great. And you know, by the way, the whole Ascension project had like top-notch safety. Mm-hmm. Every single person had a mask on, but also every on-screen talent had daily COVID testing. So we were all testing negative every day, making sure we're all set. Classic boat horn. So, you know, all these flights, I'm sort of just in cruise control. I'm only really thinking about the uploads. So I'm just getting through them, basically. So I gate check that hard case and the first tiny plane. And when I get off the tiny plane in Phoenix, I pick it up at the gate and I walk in. Then the second plane, which is going from Phoenix to San Francisco, again, I walk up to the front desk and I'm like, hey, I have an extra bag. I didn't fly here with it, but I have to gate check it. They're like, sure. Put a little tag on it. And he asked me when I was there, you're going to Newark, right? And I said, yeah. And they're like, all right, it'll be with you at your final destination. I said, great. So I gate check it. Walk onto the plane. I'm doing my whole upload fit. I'm just forgetting about the bag. I get to San Francisco and I just get off the plane and walk to the next gate. So after this whole upload thing happens, I'm sitting at the gate. There's a couple minutes left before boarding and I get a phone call from a random number and I pick it up. Hi, is this Marquez Brownlee? Oh, yeah, it is. And who is this? And so this is Sam from Alaska Airlines. You left your bag on the plane. It's like, what? Like, this hard case here, we're trying to see if we can find you. Did you go to the next gate or where'd you go? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in Terminal 3. I don't know what I thought it was going to be. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're sending Sergio out there. He's tall. He'll look for you. And here's his number. And he's got the case. And sure enough, I walk all the way back out to the front from the back of the international terminal. And this guy is like rolling the red case along. He's like, yeah, someone lost the bag and we had to figure out who it was. And yeah, I just figured I'd get this to you. And the flight attendants were just going to leave it. And then I said, this is a red camera in here. It says red on it. We got to get it to whoever it is.
How on earth did they find out it was you? There's, I don't, oh, it had your tag on it.
It had the tag on it.
Thank goodness. Because yeah. I don't know if I, in the scramble of packing that, I don't think I put a business card or anything in there. Yeah. Like that was not on my mind. I was too focused.
So here I was thinking, gate check it. It'll arrive at the final destination. But apparently something probably between switching airlines from Alaska to United or whatever happens, yep. they Most did likely. Not have that memo go through. And so luckily they called me and found me and realized it was an important bag and I got it. So I then got that bag too and it made it to Newark with me.
What do you know? It's in the year of 2020, airline stories are the positive. Yeah. Who'd have thunk?
Wow. That's, at least one of them had fast internet.
You really know everything is messed up in the world if we're talking good about airlines.
in 2020, man.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari, W., and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you got to do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier, so I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
But yeah, I'd say that's, it was a success, even though it could have been so much better. Long story short, I ended up finding out what was wrong with Komodo. And listen, I said in my video about Komodo, this thing is in beta, don't get it yet. If you need a stable workhorse, this is not the camera yet. It's 1.0 software. Ended up exchanging emails from with a few people at Red, and we figured out what it was. It's basically the newest version of their Final Cut Pro plugin, which has metal support, only works with certain GPUs. And the MacBook Pro, as we know, has an internal integrated Intel GPU and a dedicated AMD GPU. It was optimized for only, well, it was functional with only the dedicated GPU. Mm-hmm. The MacBook Pro, on the other hand, is busy switching back and forth based on what it thinks you need when. And so this is why I could never figure out what was going on. It was just blacking out randomly. It's because the MacBook Pro was switching GPUs. So long story short, Komodo will continue to get updates, and I will not be trying to edit Komodo footage on a MacBook Pro again anytime soon.
I think you mentioned this before, but why on earth would Final Cut ever want to use the integrated GPU over?
Yeah, that was weird to me that it would
I'm sure there's some reason, but it just like, I wish you could just be like, I'm going to work this computer right now. Please do not choose anything.
Okay. That's the thing, is I didn't find out until later that that was the exact issue. You know, I'm emailing them and they're like, what's happening with the footage? And tell me what's happening. It doesn't work. It's going blank, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I think it was like literally this morning we figured out what I got that email from Jared about the GPUs. And yes, you can actually force the MacBook Pro to just see the dedicated GPU and use it all the time. All
right.
If I had known that in the moment,
probably last thing you're thinking of. You just want to get it all done. And So, anyone who watched this unboxing video, if you think it's a little off, there's why colors might be a tiny bit off. And if you enjoyed it, just now you know how much work went into that and what we do to try and get everyone videos on time.
So. Yeah, so there it is. That's just the beginning of Techtember. There's a lot of stuff happening in the behind the scenes in the first few weeks of this quarter, but there it is.
Yeah, we're hitting the busy season, and we really hit it as hard as possible. We made it, I mean, maybe we made it a little harder on ourselves, but like we said, you can't pass up an opportunity when David Bladen says, I'm going to float into the atmosphere and I want you to be there, so.
Yeah, exactly. You want to see the Fold 2?
I do. So I actually refrained from watching the video because I kind of wanted to see this.
Oh, you didn't watch it or anything?
I didn't watch this. I just wanted to see this in person. All right, let's see. I'm going to practice my skills here on describing to the podcast audience. First, the screen on the front is obviously like, this thing is heavy.
It is.
It feels like I'm holding a brick. Like you talk about like candy bar like phones and everything like that, this feels like a brick. Mm-hmm. It's not the worst. It feels really solid, which is great. Front screen is just like a total upgrade from last time.
What a difference.
It's really strange though that it's kind of like folding over the right side. The screen's like
2D
curved
glass.
Over 2.5D. The right side, but not on the left side because it has to go into the hinge. Color's nice. It's like that copper color. Huge camera bump on the back. Kind of maybe a little smaller than Note 20.
Yes,
right? Smaller. But very similar to Note 20.
Essentially the same camera bump, yeah.
Yeah. Opening it up. It's so weird how the screen on the front feels so... like, you know, the screen feels a little off on the inside because I'm guessing it has that like plastic...
It does.
...screen cover on it. But before when you had it, you couldn't really tell, but now you can feel the front glass in the middle.
So you can tell it has a screen protector on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Samsung told me specifically, I asked.
Actually.
You can see the corners, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't make that more flush so that people aren't scraping their fingernails in there.
So it is in the instructions on the box, don't remove that screen protector. Uh-huh. And I asked Samsung, and they said, curiously, yes, it is removable. No, you should not remove it yourself.
Yeah, they said to go to a Samsung store, right?
Right, have someone from Samsung official remove it.
It's also interesting because since it's a hole punch cutout in the middle, you can see almost like the teardrop cutout of the screen protector. So like you could very easily fingernail get that off. All right, the crease. You can see the crease
you
pretty
can.
Well.
But I think
I just like open YouTube or something, or like
I think the crease
when
observation,
you start seeing video, it's not quite
right. That's what I was gonna say. So when you look at the phone, just looking at the phone, you see the crease pretty hardcore. But if you're watching a video on the phone and not really looking at the phone so much, then I think the crease is way less of an issue.
Yeah. So, okay. So the main thing I want to do though is I want to just hold this next to the Duo here for a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Talk about thickness difference.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like short and stubby versus tall and thick. I don't know. So like holding it folded in one hand, I like the fold better because it's skinnier and feels more like a phone. I think it could be a little wider, but the Surface Duo in hand folded up is like wide. It's very wide.
Yeah.
Thickness of it on a table though, I'm moving my microphone. I think the Surface Duo is equal if you lay the Fold 2 on the camera bump side on a table. The half with the camera bump is as thick as the whole
Surface Duo,
which means it has another phone on top of that.
Yeah.
So I think you could fit two Surface Duos on top of each other to be the same thickness as the Fold 2.
Yeah.
Is that a safe to say thing?
Yeah, it is a massive thickness difference.
Yeah.
So here's my wild. I have a working theory. This is kind of how my brain works as I'm reviewing a piece of tech. And I've been obviously now testing two folding phones alongside each other at the same time. My usage of Fold 2 is really curious. I love it a lot. Like it's way more refined. The hinge stays put in better, you know, in more places.
I was just opening it. The hinge feels much better than
much more
one.
Sturdy, more firm, more confident, more smooth. It's a boxier, more it just feels more like a phone that's ready to be daily used, mm-hmm. especially just because of that huge front screen.
Yeah.
Here's what I find. Holding the phone and just using that front screen, because of how much bigger it is, now it's actually harder for me to reach the top. This is like the silliest complaint is like when you had a tiny crappy screen with huge bezels, mm-hmm. you could reach all four corners easily and just do whatever on it.
Yeah.
Now it's like I actually have to do a little bit of hand gymnastics. And I think the craziness that is this phone is it's a win-lose.
Okay.
It's a win because you do get a bigger, better screen
yeah.
on the front and you want to use it more. But now you kind of lose because you're trying to use it more as a regular phone. And it's worse as a regular phone because it's so thick. Look at the size of the thickness yeah. of it. And you're trying to hold it. And now it's super narrow. Imagine someone tried to make a phone that's just the half of the Galaxy Fold. Like, that would be insane.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-lose. And it's just makes me open it up and use the middle more.
And it's where you look at this Duo. And like we talked about, like, this folded up in terms of thickness is just something I think phones are going to have to strive for. Because this is an incredible thickness for two screens.
Yeah.
Yes, it has a ton of trade-offs to get to that point, but not the hardware folding. Of this is pretty crazy
yeah.
and really futuristic in that sense. I have something I just thought about for Fold 2, though. Using the front screen, is it going to be harder as a lefty? And here's my question why. It does not fold flat, so it doesn't fold like a book would fold. It folds almost more like a three-ring binder where it folds thinner on one side than the other side because it has a gap. So using it, if you're using it in your left hand on the outside screen with your thumb coming over, you're almost reaching over and angled down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I think a lot of it just comes down to the thickness.
Awkward?
Maybe a little bit. I think the form factor is not, I think the ideal outside cover screen size is somewhere in between
Duo.
Fold 2 and Surface Duo.
Yeah.
I think Surface Duo is a little bit too wide and this Fold is a little bit too tall and narrow. Somewhere in between.
Yeah, and then hopefully Fold 2 gets thinner
yeah.
at some point. I think it's going to be a while. They're going to have to find a way to... I don't know how they're eventually going to get the screen to fold precisely and not have that like little like curvature on it, which makes it not fold flat.
Yeah.
When they can pull off it folding flat and then get it thinner, that's going to be... That's yeah. going to be peak right there, I think.
The question is just how many generations away is that? And
yeah.
I don't know where the tech is in the future, but that's eventually the goal,
yeah.
I think.
And will that happen before Duo potentially goes to a folding screen and not just a folding phone?
Oh, I think,
if that ever happens.
I think those two things will probably happen in the same year, in
yeah.
the same time, because that's the whole idea is I think I said this either last episode or in the video, but... I like that Microsoft is going super thin, stunning hardware and not bothering with this baby tech of folding mm-hmm. screens yet. And when the tech is so good that they can keep a stunning piece of hardware and fold the screen, then they'll go folding screen. Same thing with Samsung. They're going to keep going thinner and thinner and folding better and better until it's close to the stunning hardware of Surface Duo.
Yeah.
So I think they're converging on that place just from different angles. And that's, I guess, how the tech world should work.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to end this with some ASMR folding closing? We'll give you Duo and Fold 2.
You have to guess which one I'm folding when. This is fold number one. And this is fold number two. Let's go back. Let's go back here. Let's go back. Turn your volume up a little bit. I know you're listening on headphones, so turn your volume up.
Do you want me to... bump the mixer a little bit?
No. I'll just do it closer. Ready? This is fold number one again. Here's fold number two.
Nice. feel free to leave what you think it is right next to a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts,
or on Twitter. Know,
tweet at us WVFRM. Yeah, maybe we'll do like a poll and see if everyone.
We'll see what people guess.
Do that? Yeah,
we'll reveal it by some tweets sometime after this episode goes live.
Yeah, hope everyone enjoyed story time. This was a little different, but I think we're gonna have more fun things like this with our increase in episodes coming out. I just thought that was a really cool behind the scenes story. I didn't even know half of it. Like half of the stuff you told me, I'm not sure, probably because you were too busy stressing out about getting the video out.
Yeah, I'm glad we have a good story to tell though. Welcome to Techtember. Catch you guys pretty soon in the next episode. Later.
The Waveform Podcast is brought to you in part with Studio 71, and our intro outro music was created by Cameron Barlow.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.